Cyberspin, topics you care about by people you trust. This is Cyberspin, the podcast that helps you navigate CMMC. And now for the show.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining Cyberspin. I'm Kim Singletary, and the VP of Solution Marketing here, and we got a really interesting topic we're going to talk about. But first, I'm here joined by...
Hi, everybody. This is Jeremy Maris. I'm our VP of Federal Sales.
John Fitch, the Azure Cloud Architect for Clearwater and Redmond.
Thanks for taking the time today. I'm going to give you a quick intro. So our title today is Small Cloud for Big Savings. And CMMC requires this evaluation of the contractor's technical security controls, documentation, policies, processes, really to ensure this overall security and resiliency. So when we look at managed cloud services and how they may be able to accelerate their CMMC journey, and how are the fastest and easiest ways to accomplish this, this is what we're going to be talking today, especially when it comes to handling CUI data. So the questions I have in front of us now is, I guess I'm going to pose this to Jeremy. Give a quick overview of if you say I have a very small organization with a larger organization, or I myself an organization with, say, less than 10 people, maybe even five, that handles CUI data for sure. How can they accelerate their CMMC needs by moving to a cloud environment with Microsoft Azure GCC?
Great question. When we're talking about small businesses and, you know, many contractors within the defense industrial base are in some cases extremely small organizations, you know, five people, three people, less than 10 people. For these organizations, oftentimes, there may not be a experienced IT staff. Sometimes it's just one person who's wearing a lot of hats, and managing all of the moving parts of CMMC can be extremely challenging. Trying to build out all of the documentation and such, implementing all of the various controls and security practices within 800-171 for a single person can just be overwhelming. Where the cloud really shines in that regard is it's going to implement a CMMC compliant environment. When our team is deploying the cloud and configuring it, we're going to be building it out to CMMC specifications. And then the ongoing management of the cloud and the security operations and such can be performed by our team, to where we're really just an extension of that small organization without the need to add, you know, multiple additional IT bodies, and at the same time, meeting 171, meeting CMMC, and maintaining a compliant posture to protect the contracts they have and give them the ability to go after new contracts.
I'd add on to that that it goes beyond the initial setup too. You can create an easy button for the automation, for the compliance, for all of the systems logging and monitoring. And then you've got to go beyond that. You have a program plan, your POAM, your network gaps, your assessments, cybersecurity plans, et cetera, that Redspin can help you easily set up and continue to establish a program around.
And one of the things we're seeing when we're, you know, talking to prospects going forward in this, so we're establishing that, you know, the GCC cloud is one way, especially if it's managed with a managed security provider or in Gov terms, an external service provider. In the long term, what are some of the cost issues that come up and the misconceptions that, you know, this is going to be enough, I can do this myself, or even if I moved with a service provider, what opportunities are they missing by just looking at that for their solution?
Well, everything with CMMC ultimately is a business decision, and it's weighing costs and, you know, what resources are available internally and what needs to be outsourced. I think one of the misconceptions is folks tend to think that, you know, whether we're speaking today about Azure Gov clouds, that the cost associated with those makes them inaccessible to small organizations. And I can't disagree more. With smaller organizations, oftentimes, you know, leveraging a cloud can be significantly less expensive than trying to add experienced IT staff. Even just adding a single IT person can oftentimes be more expensive than outsourcing everything and standing up a cloud enclave. And at the same time, that cloud enclave is going to tackle quite a bit of 800-171 and the necessary controls for CMMC. There is no perfect turnkey solution that does everything. There's always going to be multiple stages to meeting, you know, getting through that CMMC journey. Even in Azure GovCloud, whether you're talking about GCC or GCC High, even if everything is properly deployed, configured, and managed, it's still only going to get you about 85 to 90% of the way to the finish line. There's still going to be another 10 to 15% that needs to be addressed outside of IT. But it will get you most of the way there. And again, you know, with just the challenge that finding good IT staff and bringing them on board is these days and the cost associated with that long term, I've seen the numbers play out many, many times where for a small organization, leveraging a GovCloud is actually the cheaper route than trying to expand their IT team.
You know, that's great advice. And I think one of the conversations we continue to kind of bump into here is how does AVD fit into this or the virtual desktops? It does cause some confusion. And you, as you said, you know, I get quite a bit of coverage, but I think there's some surprising information as we're, you know, looking at this of what an AVD can also provide in terms of course, security, but in terms of cost and management.
Fitch, you want to tackle this one on the front end and I'll come in on the back end?
Yeah, from a technical standpoint, the AVD in the virtual desktop allows their users to stream apps, connect off of any device in a secure manner, provide protection. And in the end, it can be used as a design to take those user endpoints out of your compliance and audit journey.
Yeah. So essentially, AVD creates a virtual machine that lives between the user and the cloud. And that's where the CUI data is going to live also when it's being handled. So as Fitch said, it never really truly lives on the endpoint, which allows you to take the endpoints out of scope. I am a remote user. I operate out of a home office. I do not want my home office to be in scope for a CMMC assessment. And we have our own recertification coming up in about 7 weeks. So this is, you know, a topic that's near and dear to our hearts. But a lot of smaller organizations and even large organizations these days post-COVID have some degree of either entirely remote staff or hybrid staff to where, you know, the Azure Virtual Desktop, the AVD, allows you to take that whole remote access component out of scope. And it also allows for flexibility in when you're traveling for work and you're on the road and operating out of hotel rooms on hotel Wi-Fis, or, you know, you're potentially just traveling on vacation and such and trying to get some work done. Wherever you are accessing the cloud from, you're accessing it through the AVD and that virtual machine that lives between you and the cloud. So it really doesn't matter what network you're on, where you are, it still remains the same experience and the endpoint device is still out of scope.
Really great segue to the question I have coming up next, which is there's definitely requirements, and you talk about being remote and on vacation and hotel Wi-Fi, and from a security perspective, all the bristles of my hair on the back of my neck start standing up because that's just not great to have open communication that way. And there's requirements to have encrypted file repositories, encrypted email when you're dealing with CUI. So what are the other functions as, you know, as part of a managed security service that can help address that? That we run into a lot of misconceptions of, you know, whether it's a point product or, you know, what are the better solutions out there to look at this holistically?
I think you have no tool or technology that can solve all of the aspects of the security and the CMMC requirements. Any tool or security and how it fits, whether it be GCC, GCC High, alternative solutions, is about the ongoing process and the people involved. So you're going to eventually have to wrap an ongoing program, an ongoing response, an ongoing methodology to it that will meet these compliance and resource needs and protect that secure data in an absolute manner and have a response method for when something does occur outside of your known walls. And that's where, you know, Redspin Services is going to help you with that ongoing program, locking down the flow and function of those security email encryption, file storage encryption areas. It goes beyond the treatment of that file. It looks more towards the person and actions that are occurring in that method.
Yeah, and to John's point, as I mentioned earlier, GCC, GCC High, they'll get you 85, 90% of the way down the road. And then there's still a portion that needs to be addressed. And, you know, that's where Redspin can not only assist with the cloud aspect of things, but help build out the rest of the program. And then we all need to look beyond certification to that 3-year window of maintaining compliance. And, you know, we can leverage the resources the Redspin team has to help build out that program for maintaining compliance. But to your original point, Kim, you know, things like the FIPS 140-2 validated encryption. It is an ongoing challenge that we have seen in the numerous joint surveillance assessments we've conducted. It's a challenge with the folks that we're consulting and help prepare for CMMC. And across the ecosystem, I think it's, you know, one of the most, you know, taxing CMMC control requirements for OSCs. There are tools out there that are specifically targeted towards addressing that FIPS 140-2 validated encryption. Those tools will do a phenomenal job of addressing the encryption piece, but then oftentimes there are misconceptions that the tool then makes you CMMC compliant, which couldn't be further from the truth. There are, you know, hosts of additional controls that are still in play once you've leveraged a tool like that. You could leverage GCC or GCC High, and everything within the cloud is wrapped within that validated encryption component. Even in that scenario, you still, and I mentioned using ABD, taking endpoints out of scope. Even with those endpoints out of scope, those endpoints still need to have something like BitLocker or another encryption tool on them. So encryption is definitely a challenging issue, and there are different ways to address it. But I think folks need to keep in mind that when you're tackling the 140-2 validated, that FIPS encryption piece, that you need to look beyond the encryption itself and how it fits into the rest of CMMC, and whatever tool you're leveraging, whether that be specifically an encryption tool or whether that be a GovCloud, how that encryption piece folds into the rest, and then how, as John said, how that folds into an overall CMMC compliance program.
So Jeremy, with that question, one of those things, if part of this solution includes the managed Office 360 from Microsoft, wouldn't that include some of the controls you would need for FIPS in this scenario for the small businesses?
Definitely. You know, if you're leveraging in Azure GCC Cloud or GCC High Cloud, it has the FIPS 140-2 validated encryption built in to the cloud. So the data that's being stored in the cloud is encrypted. The email transmissions are encrypted. So it provides you the ability to send and receive CUI data in an encrypted fashion, to store the data in an encrypted manner, as well as to handle the data in an encrypted manner. As well as, obviously, you know, your M365 we all know and love and use on a day-to-day basis.
So real quick, we know that things are moving along. It's a CMMC journey, as we keep talking about. But as we talked about in our last podcast, the primes at any point in time can start asking their subs or smaller vendors to start providing the validation that they are ready for CMMC, that they're doing the right thing and that they're following NIST 800-171. So with that in mind and knowing the kind of companies we're addressing, Jeremy and Fitch, would you mind just closing this out and giving us just kind of the one takeaway that you would give advice to for these companies in today's podcast?
Absolutely. So the DoD published the CMMC rule to the Federal Register back on December 26th. Since then, you know, with the turn of the year, it kind of initially flew under the radar a little bit because it was the holidays, but then after the turn of the year, when everybody got back to the office, I have seen a crazy increase in the amount of activity within the ecosystem and organizations, you know, looking to really move on CMMC now that, quote unquote, it's real. People seem to think that it takes, you know, 6 months or a year to leverage a GovCloud. It is the easy button. I will be honest, if you're kind of behind the eight ball and you really haven't been preparing for a while, Reach out to us. We can deploy and configure and go live with a GovCloud in 60 days or less in most cases. Sometimes, you know, in 30 to 45 days, depending on, you know, what kind of environment we're standing up. So, you know, don't feel like, oh my gosh, you know, this is, you know, I'm too far behind. You can actually gain quite a bit of ground in a very short span of time leveraging something like a GovCloud. But the rule is coming. It's very likely coming, you know, later this year. I know there's a lot of information out there about DoD timelines, but I always strongly urge everyone to keep in mind that the primes will be issuing CMMC requirements most likely well in advance of the DoD putting it in contracts. So if you are a subcontractor, the time is now. And if you're looking for that easy button, the GovClouds tend to be that route.
I'd agree with that all the way. Redspin's going to be your superhero. We've been in the trenches. We've seen the consulting, the C3PO assessments. When it comes down to it, automation and tools fail. You're looking at people and process, and we've found the easy way to put things together for you and overcome hard challenges in the trenches that will help you get certified, will help you achieve those requirements, and help you be a better partner with your contractors.
Thank you so much for joining me today. I look forward to our next podcast, which we will have many more coming up. Thank you for listening today and joining Cyberspin. And if you enjoyed this, please like it. And if you have any questions about today or any other questions, just feel free to get in touch with us. Thank you so much for joining.